Welcome to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. Coming up later in the program, new statistical data seem to indicate that Salisbury is gaining momentum in its battle against crime and gang violence. We'll find out what's working and what still needs to be done. And later, we'll take you to one of the only local shelters focusing on homeless and disabled veterans. We'll bring you an update of a homeless vet who just a few weeks ago was living in a tent in the woods near Ocean City. But first, January at the beach can often feel like we're in the doldrums, but that doesn't mean that there isn't anything newsworthy to talk about. This week saw a number of potential candidates for office throw their names in the ring, and this year's election is shaping up to be an interesting one, from the local level on up. To discuss this and other top headlines from our region, I sat down with Steve Green from the Maryland Coast Dispatch for our monthly news roundup. We started with the slow but steady resurgence of the coastal real estate market.
You know, I think what's happening with our market now is it's returning to normal, you know, which we had the extreme swings of overpriced properties and over a market that was beyond what would be considered normal activity in the mid-2000s, 2005, 2006, those years. You know, and then we saw a huge drop where it was way below normal, way below properties were selling at below value because of the market change. What we saw this year was a return to normalcy, and I think most agents will say that. You know, everyone will agree that it's improving. Is it where they want it to be? Probably not quite yet. But I think everyone with a rational mind realizes that those days of properties selling within, you know, 48 hours of going on the market or purchase offers exceeding the asking price, you know, those days are long gone. Yeah. You know, so that we don't expect to see that again. But, you know, what we're seeing locally in our market is that listings are going down mm-hmm. and settlements are going up. And that's what a real estate what everybody wants to see. You know, they want to see the supply and demand kind of alter back to a normal formula.
Sure. And also, I found it interesting that not only the inventory is dropping, but also what properties are selling for is much closer to the asking price than what we've seen in the past several years. You know, I read in your paper, actually, a quote that said that we used to have 2 years of worth mm-hmm. of inventory. Now we have about 7 months worth of inventory. That's real progress, it seems. Are we getting back to the point, or how far do you think we are from getting back to the point where real estate is one of the driving forces in this economy? Because, you know, anybody who works in a bar and restaurant will tell you that many years ago when the real estate market was booming, all those realtors, all those property developers were going out into the restaurants and pumping a bunch of money into the local economy. Are we there yet?
I don't think we're there yet. I think we will be, though. I think the summer will be a great indication, or the spring maybe, to see. But you're right. You know, the realtors go out and they support jewelry stores. They support the restaurants. They support the bars. You know, they have that disposable income. And those times ended for a number of years. And I think you are seeing it now. You know, we have some recent stories that we did on jewelry around the holidays. And, you know, those sales are picking up. And that's kind of a disposable thing. You mm-hmm. know, it's not something that everybody puts on their to-do list for Christmas or those kind of things. And I think that is directly connected to the real estate market.
Yeah. Now, I guess on the flip side of that, let's talk about property values. Yeah. There was a report that came out that once again, in this 3-year assessment cycle, property values have gone down, you know, by a couple percentage points. It's not as drastic as it's been the last two cycles.
Right.
However, it's still very concerning for a lot of people here in the region who are looking at their property values and realizing that they are either underwater on their mortgage or they're pretty darn close to it.
Yeah.
Talk about what this declining property values means, not only for homeowners, but also for politicians who are going to have to be doing more with less yet again.
Right. Well, there are several different angles. You know, from a homeowner who is not looking to sell his or her property, a declining property value is not necessarily the worst thing, you know, in that you could see your taxes go down that you owe. Now, on the flip side of that, that is assuming that taxes will not be raised. So it does lead you to the question for the elected officials. How do they do more with less, or how do they do the same with less? And the answer is cuts. And we're, of course, in an even-numbered year, which means it's election year on the county and state and even more localized front. So we're not going to see a tax increase this year. That's just not going to happen. But less money will be coming into the individual government's coffers, meaning there has to be cuts somewhere. And that leads to concerns about your school system. And many will say the school system is already at its bare minimum that it can use to get by. So the county's going to have to cut. The local governments will have to cut. Where that's going to come, that'll be things we see. You know, nobody wants to see it in public safety or schools. But that doesn't mean that, you know, solid waste is not as important, or infrastructure. There's been a lot of infrastructure concerns, feeling that that has not been kept up to the degree that it should. This isn't going to be the year to do it, because the assessments show that it's going to be down and into around the 9 to 11%, depending on, you know, where you're located. The real concern will be next year when Ocean City is reassessed, because that's really where the bulk of the county property values are, property assessments are. And next year is not an election year. So I would expect, you know, next year we will see a tax increase on all fronts.
Let's talk about the election year. We've got some very interesting races that are popping up as more and more people are throwing their names into the ring, or their names into the hat of the political fishbowl here in the region. One of note that just came out this week was City Councilman and former Council President Joe Matresik for County Commissioner. Mm-hmm. Now, this is essentially a free shot for Joe Matresik. If he wins, he obviously takes the County Commissioner seat. If he loses, he retains his seat on the City Council. There seems to be a couple really interesting things with Joe Matresik running. What does it mean for Ocean City if he does win the county commissioner seat?
Well, if he does win, what Joe said that he wanted to do at his little press gathering Tuesday was improve the county and the city's rapport. You know, that has been an issue for sure, and he has seen it himself. What some of the things that he thought that he brought up that I thought were interesting was increasing transparency at the county government level, where they don't tape their meetings or the, you know, videotape their meetings and provide that for the public. And the fact that he wants to break up this bubble that the county government that he perceives operates within, and there is a certain legitimacy to that point. The tax differential issue, as you mentioned, which is pretty complex, but it involves Ocean City property owners essentially paying twice for services such as police protection, recreation and parks, that type of thing. And then also a really interesting issue that hasn't been on the radar lately is this, the 911 system in the county. And just a real quick example would be if a property owner on 70th Street needed 911 assistance. That call would be directed to the Snow Hill, the county's dispatch center. And then once it's discovered that it's an Ocean City call, it will be directed back to Ocean City. So it's seconds. And Joe Matresik brought this up because he's he had a heart attack in 2012, I believe, and realizes how important seconds are. So he wants that discussion to brought back up. Now, that went nowhere back in the early 2000s, but there's certainly, you know, rational minds will say, man, that's just not correct. You know, they're not right the right way for the process to be handled. So he's shining a light on some things that I think are very interesting. Now, the thing is, you know, as far as the impact on Ocean City, should we expect major changes if he is elected? Well, the answer is going to be no, because he's one of seven. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to have the consensus build. And is he going to have that opportunity? That's going to be very interesting to see, you know. Then if he were to win, that would set up, of course, a vacant seat on the Ocean City election, and there would have to be a special election held. So a lot weighing on that race, and we're interesting to see if anybody files against him. You know, there's been a lot of talk, but of course, until somebody actually does, you know, this is the discussion that we have currently.
Let's talk about one of the larger races, and that's for the state Senate seat, and that's pitting Jim Mathias, a Democrat who holds the seat currently, versus Delegate Mike McDermott, who is a Republican. This seems to be a very interesting race for me, because I think it's going to gauge where the shore is politically or on the spectrum. Mathias is a Democrat, but yet he is very conservative on many issues, such as gay marriage, gun control, etc. Mike McDermott, on the other hand, is very much further to the right. How do you see this race unfolding, and what do you think are going to be the issues that are going to decide this race?
Well, it's definitely going to be a fascinating race, because you have a study in contrast here. You know, you have Jim Mathias, who has never lost an elected office. It's quite an unbeaten streak dating back to the early 90s, you know. And then Mike McDermott, who essentially is running for this seat because of the state redistricting effort that kind of basically pushed him out. And so he really, to stay in elected office, this was his opportunity to move up. So what McDermott's going to look to do is paint Mathias as a O'Malleyocrat, you know, and paint him with the political powers that be, because his feeling will be that the lower shore or the shore is not in favor of how they see the state going. And he's going to use the health care exchange as an issue. He's going to use minimum wage as an issue. But, of course, Mathias has come out as opposed to the minimum wage increase, which is going to happen on some level for sure. But that's what you're going to see. You're going to see Mathias using his experience and touting his experience and his ability to work at the committee level to kind of gain muster with some of his colleagues. And you can see McDermott painting him as using that Democrat title, though, as you say, you know, Mathias is more of a moderate, I would say. And then you can see McDermott maybe trying to bring himself into the moderate a little bit more to be more appealing. But the Shore is a conservative area, as you know, and it's going to be fascinating to watch these two kind of go back and forth. But I expect McDermott to be a very hard campaigner. He's going to go after Mathias with ads. And it'll be interesting to see if Mathias can withstand this onslaught from McDermott.
Yeah. Do you think whoever wins this race, it will shine a light and really give us a litmus test of just how conservative the Shore is?
Yeah, it's going to be a great barometer, no question about it. It's going to be a reflection of how our citizens feel at this point about current events and really just how we are as far as a party line Shore, which we all believe to be a very red area. Mm-hmm. And I think this will confirm that, but it's just going to be how important our party designations.
Yeah. You mentioned minimum wage in that conversation that's going to be going on in Annapolis. Let's talk about that for a second. Governor O'Malley put up a number recently, $10.10, and to be the new minimum wage. There's going to be much more deliberation about this. I know many businesses here on the coast are looking very, you know, they're very interested in how this conversation is going to go. There are even many that are very concerned.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what a minimum wage increase would mean for seasonal businesses.
Well, it's going to have a huge impact. There's no question. I do believe most have already accepted that it's going to happen at some point. You know, there seems to be this three-year phase-in that's kind of getting a lot of traction in the assembly. But local business owners had a very interesting conversation with a large hotelier and restaurant owner, and he said, well, it's just another hit. And it is another hit. And they're already dealing with the healthcare issues and right. The fact that they had to, you know, really scale back some employees to part-time levels and to try to avoid maybe this new mandatory health increase. So they feel like this is just another hit at small business. And, you know, really how they cope with it will be, you know, probably either making some cuts or increasing the prices. Mm-hmm. So that, of course, will come down to affecting tourists and everyone in the whole, you know, economy.
We've been speaking with Steve Green. He's the editor and publisher of the Maryland Coast Dispatch. Steve, always nice to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me, Brian.
If you'd like to comment on any of the things that Steve and I were talking about, send us an email to coastal@wmu.org. You're listening to Coastal Connection here on 88.3 in Ocean City and 88.5 in Washington. I'm Brian Russo.